Let's just pray over this. Wait on the Lord a second here. Thank you, Father God. We just want to do what you want done today. We rest in you. We relax in you. We want to be at the comfort of the Holy Ghost so we can hear what you're saying to us. I want to hear what you're saying to us. So we thank you, Father, for your grace, your anointing today. Above all, the anointing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I had Pastor put the triangle at the end in your bulletin. I'm going to read that, first of all. We had talked about that some time ago, but I think it's more pertinent than ever. This was, we're partnered with was Charles Cass Ministries, and now it's Cass Ministries, and so we get mailings from them, and this is often part of it. It's just intriguing to me, and I really think with the message God gave me, it fits in with the times we're living in. So I'm just going to read this. Those who prophesy doom have seen some things, but they haven't seen it all. They say that darkness is coming and darkness is overshadowing, yet in the same time frame, there will be a great light and great manifestations of my power. For as you approach the triangle of the end, time shall grow closer. Time shall grow closer and faster because it's coming to a point. And it must be line upon line, precept upon precept, down the middle of this triangle. Time shall go faster and closer, faster and closer, faster and closer. Can you get a witness on that? There was a day when at the top of the triangle you could be way to one side, falling afar off, asleep in the light that is inside the triangle. And I have a, we'll show you this triangle then. Outside this triangle is darkness, gross darkness, and it shall cover the earth. The world shall walk in that darkness. But my people are inside the triangle, and the light is growing lighter. The light is coming to a point until it becomes a laser. At that point, the light shall be bright. The light shall manifest more illumination, shall bring more understanding. Remember, this is 1987. So the line that comes down the center of the triangle is my word, precept upon precept, line upon line. The one who followed afar off several years ago was still in the light. But as you get to the little end of the triangle, that person will be in the darkness, gross darkness. So gird up your loins with the truth, draw close to my word, polarize yourself with the word of God, let the entrance of the word illuminate you, come as close to that word and that perfection as you can. For I have said in my word, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Strive to come in line with the word that you may grow up into all things in Christ. For the darkness and the wicked spirits have sped up their activities faster, 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 and closer. And so have I sped up my activities in the triangle of light for more illumination, more illumination. For you have seen the illumination that is coming, but you have not seen the manifestation of my power that shall be at the end of the triangle. For it will be light, then lighter and brighter, then it becomes a laser, and there shall be a great manifestation of my power. So, again, this is 1987, and Pastor mentioned this before about Venetian blinds and timing. We can see more clear on this prophecy now than we could have back in the late 80s. And I want to pick up on something. It said, outside the triangle is darkness, gross darkness, and it shall cover the earth. That reminded me right away of Isaiah 60. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, arise, and this is for, I'm preaching the choir, but if you, this is for people that act like they're victims. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. I always say had kept me, not anymore. Rise to a new life. Rise, get out of this, of the prostration and depression which circumstances had kept you. Rise to new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, dense darkness the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So the church is to operate in this glory realm and realize, man, from 2, 3, 5 years ago, the dark has changed to more darkness, but the light, illumination has come. So we have entered this triangle at the end in which both the time allotted, and I'm going to read some of this because this is his commentary after the fact of that prophecy over the years. We've entered into the triangle at the end in which both the time allotted and the prophetic events are both being compressed to maximum density. Can you feel the flesh kind of cringe about that? The time, the events are compressed to maximum density to fulfill the prophetic scriptures. You know, people are saying, man, it seems like time is so short, time, everything's going so fast. Well, there's a reason for that. Now, I want to look at something, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified in Luke 21 that ties in with this. It was there this morning. There it is. Luke 21:11. There will be mighty and violent earthquakes. And the Passion Translation says this: there will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion that result in famines in one place or another. There will be horrible plagues and epidemics. I mean, we've seen COVID. Cataclysmic storms on the earth and astonishing signs and cosmic disturbances in the heavens. That's the Passion. Now, this got me thinking about this. The 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan. And I kind of heard about this, but I looked it up. I thought, is this really true? But it is, from scientific things that I've read. The earthquake, remember that earthquake, that tsunami? And I think it knocked out a nuclear power plant or something. There's all kinds of issues. So, and that's, what, 12 years ago. But that earthquake moved the main island of Japan 8 feet, the whole island. It shook the Earth's axis and caused the rotation of the Earth to speed up. So that's why, I mean, the journal said the earthquake shifted Earth on its axis of rotation by redistributing mass, like putting a dent in a spinning top. The tremor also shortened the length of the day by about a microsecond. You say, well, what's that? That's been, what, 12 years? A microsecond a day? I mean, these are cumulative things. Things are adding up. So, but that's not the only reason it seems like time is short. The prophetic utterance here really blessed me. The compression, time allotted, and the prophetic events are both being compressed to maximum density. You know, when you get maximum density, you got something thick. So, but you know, the moving of that island 8 feet, that's like a cataclysmic storm on the earth. And it says it produced a low frequency rumble, an infrasound which traveled into space and was detected by a satellite. I mean, cosmic disturbances in the heavens. So, going on with some commentary on this prophecy, time is reacting much the same as a liquid flowing through a funnel, being drawn into the narrow end, released into a larger dimension. It seems that there's not enough time to go around, and time itself controls us. And that's, you know, is this relevant for today? To me, it is. We are being drawn by the vortex of time, spiraling faster and faster through the narrow end of the triangle of time. We will soon be released into a new millennium that will forever change planet Earth. Just to interject there, I was reading about Einstein's theory of relativity and another theory about a fourth dimension, almost like a net around the Earth's atmosphere that causes the vortex. And they've sent a satellite out that can measure, I don't think we got the results yet, but they can measure whether his theory is correct. And the man was a genius, obviously, but anyway. God has allotted a specific time for prophetic end-time events, and they must transpire in his timing to fulfill the prophetic scriptures concerning this age. This thing's going to happen. Their fulfillment will usher in a glorious end-time harvest just before the rapture of the church. And Charles said, as those words came forth, and maybe you can bring that up here, my lovely assistant will come up. I'm not going to saw her in half or anything like that. So it says, as the words came forth, I saw in my spirit, as it were, a large acute triangle. It was standing on end, looking, you got to invert, looking like an inverted, turn it up, yep, there we go. Looking like an inverted pyramid with a line drawn down the center from the wide top to the narrow point at the bottom, which represented a funnel. Inside the triangle is light, but outside there's darkness. So you can see what he's saying. If somebody could be over here in some light some time back, but you know, as time goes on, if they don't stay in the precept of the word in the center line, they're in darkness. And we know there's been a falling away, and we've seen things happening, but Anyway, the inside the triangle was light, but outside was darkness. And we know Proverbs 4:18 and 20. I think you can sit down with that. There. Unless you want to stand all the time, you can. Proverbs 18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day." This thing's like going to be like a laser for us. I spent more time in this last year with the Lord, and I'm glad for the time. It seems like revelation is just flowing. I mean, you sit down. I go over Psalm 136, praising God, thanking God. Psalm 145, I love. He leads me different ways. And I sit down at a porch at a table with a Bible and notebook, and there it flows. Have you been noticing this? I mean, yeah. So we're in this time of light. We're in that center line, precept of the Word. So you can expect this revelation. And not just from the pulpit, from pastor, myself, or what, who have you can expect it on your jobs. And I've testified to that so many times. God's got me covered on my business, and you can testify that too. We all can. So, but the way of the wicked is as darkness, Proverbs 4:19, and they know not what they stumble. Man, you're seeing this right now. You see so many people, you think, how stupid can you be? Can't you see? But they don't see. But what does God say in verse 20? My son, attend to my words, incline my ear to your sayings. Precept upon precept, line upon line, down the center line. So Charles went on to say, it's evident from many prophetic scriptures that great darkness is coming upon the wicked who dwell on planet Earth. They have been caught in the vortex of this triangle of the end and are about to be thrust into gross darkness because they refuse to follow the guidelines of the Bible. There is great darkness and deception ahead for those who find themselves outside the triangle of light. However, there will be brilliant light and revelation for those who are willing to repent and respond to God's warning. And I might interject here. You know, the falling away, I'm not judging whether people are saved or unsaved, but there has been a falling away. And, we'll touch on this a little bit here in a little bit, but there's Christians that are stumbling in darkness. I mean, just we can see this. So the point of this message, I believe God wants to understand the times we're in. In 2 Chronicles it said, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." Pastor talks about this too. We want to know the time we're in so we can respond properly. I don't want to be down at Asbury when that revival breaks out and walk out saying, those people. I didn't know anything in 1968, but when that Jesus Revolution started, I got on the end of that thing, but I wouldn't want to be one of those church guys that said, they're coming in there with their dirty feet and they're messing up our carpet. God help us, let's not be that way. And I love that scene where the pastor then is washing their feet. And that elder guy, he kind of bit his tongue. But so, are we ready for what's coming? I mean, you look at that similar area in Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. I've never been there. I don't really want to go there, Lord. But the homelessness and all this stuff. Are we ready for revival among them? Are we really ready? I mean, we've been around people that smell pretty bad at times. And you try and minister to them, you probably have too. But and by the way, there is a great thing going on in LA right now. Mary Marilla Ministries is ministering there on the streets and then having, I think it's over now, they had their tent meeting. And God showed up again. I mean, people that are on drugs, hooked, can't get off, can't get out, they're looking for any hope. And even drug dealers are it's just a move of God, which you won't hear about on the news, but I'm telling you. So, are we in the end times? Are we in the last days? You know, people always say, yeah, we are, but I want to focus a little deeper here. Why do we say that? Well, how do we know that? So, turn to Acts chapter 2 for a moment there. And let's see. We can tell that, okay, the last days actually began on the day of Pentecost. You say, oh man, I thought we were about to get out of here. They started back then. It's going to be all right. We're going to be talking here about the end of the age. It's a little bit different. But the last days started the day of Pentecost. We can prove this. that Peter stood up. You know, things were going on. They didn't know what was going on, but Peter stood up. He knew. And he said, but this is that which was, I'm sorry, verse 16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. So there he's saying, this is what's happening here, day of Pentecost, is what Joel said about in the last days. This is, so it began then. It began at that time. We've been in these last days. So now I want to focus here now on Matthew 24. Let's look at some events that Jesus said would happen just prior to the end of the age. And, you know, if you look at, I've read a couple of times Matthew 21, 22, 23, and 24. And there's a lot of things went on there, but we're going to start in Matthew 24. I'm going to just restart in verse 1 there. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one left here, or there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I can read. And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming? And the end of the King James says, world, it should be the end of the age. It's a proper wording there. So now, like I said, Matthew 21, 22, and 23 was going on before this, and they say it's probably a period of about 2 days that all that happened. And these things were intense around the temple. And, you know, things like, well, the triumphant entry, where they're putting the palms down. He comes in on a donkey or a colt. The confrontation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people. You know, he confronted them. The fig tree in there, and the cleansing of the temple. I mean, things were happening fast and furious. So then, in that framework, is when they came to him, and they asked him these three things. When shall these things be? What should be the sign of your coming? And what should be the sign of the end of the age? So we're talking here now a little bit different than the last days. We're looking, are we in the end of this age? And a little sneak preview, I think we are. But so it's a different timeline. Not just the last days, but the closing out of the age. So when the day of Pentecost was come, the last days started, that launched this age, and now we're looking at the end of the age. You know, Jesus, in the first covenant, Jesus, well, God told the devil, you know, I'm sending one that's going to bruise your head. So he was starting to come in that age right then. In fact, well, he was slain before the foundation of the world. But he's starting to come in Genesis, and they're intertwining the covenants all the way through the decades and the hundreds of years and all that until right up to the point of his birth. We celebrate at Christmas. His birth represents the starting and the end of the age, of that age. And when he fulfilled his ministry, died, that age closed out. He said it's finished, and we started a new age, the church age. So that's I'm trying to give you a framework of what I'm getting at here. So Jesus was starting to answer him. He said in verse 4, and I've ministered some of this before, but we're going a little bit different direction here today. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. So the number one earmark of the end of the age, which we believe we're in, I think we all could agree with that, is deception. And we've never seen such deception as in this time we live in. You know, first words matter in the Bible. So he said the number one thing, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I am anointed. I got the way. I know the answers. I'm the president. I can lead you here. And I'm not just knocking President Biden, but people spreading deception, trying to generally move us in a direction of a system that, well, we know the rapture's coming, and which then, I mean, we believe we're pre-trib around here, unless you're not. But so we know after the rapture, what happens? The Antichrist comes in. The power that holds back the Antichrist right now is the church. We're here. We're restraining them. So we're in this unique time of pressure, because you know, well, you can see all this is set up for the Antichrist. You know, the systems are in place. You know, they're talking about the digital currency. They're gonna map your whole medical thing, and you know, they can trace you. And oh yeah. Our grand dog. I'm not saying that. he went in for a surgery and they microchipped him in case he gets lost. Oh, isn't that a lovely idea? Well, let's just have the government do that. That way they can find my kid. But what are you giving up for that? Yeah, I'm all for finding the kid, but how about praying the Holy Ghost? So. What I'm saying is there's things happening, and I'm surprised at how many gullible people are out there, church people, just eating this up, buying into the notion that, oh, they're here to help us, they're here to protect us. And not our kind of church people. But so these systems, we're having to live in this age as Christians by the Holy Ghost, and yet knowing that these systems are coming in place for when we get out of here, the Antichrist is the systems are in place. It's not going to take long for him to do his thing. And also deception. James 1:22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So not only is a deceiver work, the devil, you can deceive yourself. You know, people that think they're going to just beat God, I guess, I don't know, I'll just operate in the flesh and I won't get the harvest. No, you're going to harvest, you're deceiving yourself. So, you know, we need to, and you know, but the very nature of deception is you don't know you're deceived. So, man, I want to stay on track with this thing. I don't want to get out of line. But, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. And if you stay on the Word of God, the precepts, follow your heart. You feed your faith. Your faith knows what to do. You keep feeding yourself on the Word. Your faith knows what to do in situations. So, you know, I'm talking about deception also. And I mentioned this before, but like psychics. I mentioned that whenever I ministered before on this, down at the market, we have a little table area set up for people. And we heard this, there's some retirees come in. And if you're listening, there's retirees come in, and they start talking. And there's one couple comes in, and I think she teaches Sunday school or something. I mean, and nice people. Well, they used to aggravate us, but now we're friendly. We talk. We're friends. You know, we get along well. But this lady at that time, she says, "Oh yeah, I paid. I think it was $70. I went to see this psychic, and man, she nailed it. She told me just about my aunt and this and that." And I'm thinking, "Oh, please don't be teaching my kids." You know, familiar spirits, they just don't know about this. Another person we know pretty well, a child died, you know, upset him. What's God doing here? Well, it wasn't God, first of all, but going with the notion, maybe I'm going to go to a medium so I can talk to my son. No. This person is a Christian, but you know, not down the center line at all, deceived. And you got to be very careful, I've noticed, in ministering to these people, because you can't offend people, but you got to tell them straight, but yet you got to be led every step of the way. But this is out there, and you know what I'm talking. You can probably think of other examples about deception going on. But so this is what Jesus said, the number one thing, answering the question, what should be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? And the number one thing, take heed that you're not deceived. These people don't know how to fly on instruments. Oh, I got to have a medium to tell them. I mean, that's an aviation term, but, you know, flying by the Word of God. When you can't see outside, you're flying on instruments. So these people can't do it that are not grounded in the Word. They've got to have something outside that. They've got to go after the flesh thing. And I'll tell you, the spiritualism is out there. The flesh things of deception are out there. I figure it's hard enough to stay straight. My mom used to tell me, straighten up and fly right. And it's hard enough to stay straight. I don't want to get out in some evil, devilish thing. So we can be encouraged in that. Brother Hagin said, "I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe." Flying like flying on instruments. You know, you got to do that. And man, we've all had to do that. So we're living in this day of continual deception. You know, they call it relativism. Well, this is my truth, you know. That's your truth. That's okay for you. Just don't bother me and I won't bother you. Just let me swim up to the martini bar. We've heard this line already. Total cater to the flesh, you know, go on a cruise. You got all the stuff in the world. Your truth, my truth. No, what is the truth? I used this yesterday in my message upstairs in the service. I said there's a lot of false gospel going around that all dogs go to heaven, or everybody goes to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't get to God otherwise. And I think I said, no disrespect to anybody, but Muhammad won't do it, or Allah, you know. I love people, but you got to be truthful. And you know, the shame, I guess it's the right word. It's a shame that some of the Hindus and Muslims that we've dealt with are actually more moral than some people, some Christians, and that's a shame. So you got to, it's like this prophecy said, you know, be ye perfect as I'm perfect. That doesn't mean we got to be perfect. We're perfect in Him. But we need to be on the ball, touching that ball every day. So, as we told Brent. So, and you know, like a designer guy, well, I think God is this, and I think God is that. One time we said to our one family member, well, you know, like basically Jesus is the only way. Well, my granny said, you just got to be good, you know. And that's just not it. People are making this stuff up. It sounds good. I don't know if it gets everybody into the same kind of church. I don't even know if they go to the church, but what feels good, yeah. So a designer God. But Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Like, I love, God had me for a while in Jude and James. I told you that before. And, you know, that's hard on the flesh sometimes. But Jude's urgent message, he said, I really wanted to write to you about this, but I need to write to you about two things, keeping the faith and don't be deceived. You know, they were getting off, and, you know, so keep the faith, don't be deceived. It's the act of living by faith that keeps us calibrated to the truth. You know, like I said, feed your faith. Your faith knows what to do. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, you know, anointed preaching is, we've got to have it. We've got to stay focused on it. We've got to have it. And I don't know about you, but Sunday's not enough for me. We got to have more and more. And it's like an addict. And that's a good addiction, the Word of God. For, like I said, if many should come in my name saying, I am Christ, and should deceive many, or I'm anointed, I'm the way, I got the answers, I know what to do. But he said, it will deceive many. And as we go on here, it's like a list of things. And look for the words and then. A-N-D and T-H-E-N here. So many should come in my name saying, I am Christ, or I'm anointed, I'm the way. Verse 6, and you shall hear, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. That's the word, ethnos. Ethnic group shall rise against ethnic group, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. You know, you can have within a group, you can have cultures. Like, you can have an ethnic group, say a white people of different ages. They got their own little subgroup. And, you know, that, then you can make up your own kingdom out of that. I mean, and look at this example, what they call the deep state. We've got people on both sides of the aisle that have tried to run this country into the ground, tried to run the government themselves. They don't care about the people. You know, it's not we the people anymore. They've got their own culture. They've got their party, and it could be both parties, Democrat, Republican. They've got their beliefs. And so they have a kingdom. And you know, this means more to me lately than ever. Their kingdom is set up, but that kingdom is crumbling. That thing's going to fall. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows or birth pangs. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for not my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. And Jesus said, you're blessed if you're not offended in Him. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise. And again, the word and. These are things going on, all like on top of each other. we've always had these things since the beginning of time, you know, earthquakes and different things, exception. But the point here is he's comparing this to birth pangs. I never had a baby, but, you know, he's talking about the end of the age means all these things in cycles, but they're intensifying in frequency and in intensity, I'd say. Is that right, in having a baby? I mean, so it's not a linear thing now anymore. Like, this is just going around these cycles, and it used to be every 50 years or something. It's getting intense. It's getting intense. Whether it's man-made, like COVID or what have you. I'm not denying that COVID was deadly, but it was... I believe it was man-made. So whether it's that or just things in nature happening, but they're happening quicker. And it's more of a ascending progression for those of us who are in light. We're moving more towards God. We're getting the frequencies are in a more, and it's more intense. Those in darkness are moving more away from God and getting more in darkness. So the word and. And then because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I have that in the Amplified here, I think. I'll grab it. Well, the Amplified says lawlessness shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. You know, when you're here and there's no rule of law, justice, the love of many will wax cold. They think, why should I obey the law? Why should I do this? Well, you should, because you're a Christian. You got to do what's right no matter what. But we're coming into a time, I believe, of great civil disobedience, too. I think there's a time here where enough is enough. And I, for one, being on this board, I'm not going to go for closing a church again, ever. We got blindsided back then. And everybody just got hit by this in March of 2020, right? That's when it started. So I just refuse to say anymore, churches are not essential. We are the most essential. And you know, when they can keep bars and stuff open. And I'm not trying to be a radical here. I'm just reading the times. You know, they're already talking about masks again on planes and different things. Whether you believe a mask or not, to throw things down your throat. But I want to read this in Psalm 94 and in the Amplified. Just touch on this a little bit. I'm not causing a January 6th uprising, which was never uprising. I'm not causing dissension against the government, but I'm thinking for myself as a Christian. I want you to have a perspective. You don't have to buy this, but I want you to hear this. Because I hear so much stuff about, oh, we got to obey the government. It says in Romans 13. We'll talk about that. So in Psalm 94, oh wait, do I have the right thing here? Yeah, Psalm 94:16 in the Amplified. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? This is God speaking. Who's going to stand up for me against evildoers? Well, we're not. I know one guy, he says, I think we're going to get into a war. I'm thinking, you even get your little six gun out, they're going to drone you. You'll be dead before God gets the news. You know, well, you know, there's people have this thought, and Ed talks about, Pastor talks about this in the one group. These people, they think they're going to go against the government with their arms, and I don't care if you've been special forces. They find you with a drone, they'll drop something on you. You'll never know it. So I'm just my opinion on that. But who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? So I believe God's asking this question in verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you? They who frame and hide their unrighteous doings under the sacred name of law. They're trying to make laws now that, you know, are so to cover themselves. Laws of iniquity. And let's talk about Romans 13. And we'll touch on it. I'll jump right in. I worked for the government for 42 years. I know what goes on, and I saw it change a lot over the years. I'm not calling for an uprising, but I am saying this. It says, I'm going to read this in the Amplified and pay close attention. Romans 13, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll slow down. Okay, Romans 13. Got it?
My verse.
I'm sorry, I didn't tell you yet. Pick a verse anywhere. No. Chapter 1. Verse 1. You got me going here now. Let me settle down here. Romans 13, verse 1. And then I'm reading the Amplified. And I know I may be rocking your world here, but I really think you should know this. Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities. That's right. For there is no authority except from God by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order, and those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. Now, this is the definition in this next verse of civil authorities who we're supposed to obey. For civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct. You get that? While they are a terror to people of good conduct right now, these are not appointed of God civil authorities. But to those, they're a terror to people of bad behavior. No, not now they're not. I'm talking in generalities, but when they can just think they can lie enough that we believe it, the deception. So this is where I'm taking the part of God. Who will stand up against the iniquity? And I'm not talking about, I started talking about the guys raising arms. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, what they call civil disobedience. I mean, I don't want to go to jail, but I'm not in favor of shutting this church down. If pastor thinks different, that's fine, but I mean, what's the only answer to this world right now? And when you get when you see these revivals, people running to Jesus, I mean, there's no government going to stop that. So that's my point. We got the best nation in the world, still do, but we need to get it straightened out, and it will. Would you have no dread of him who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you will receive his approval and commendation. That's just not the way it is these days. I've never seen anything like this, and neither have you. So you get my point. I'm not some radical starting to overthrow the government. I'm saying pray and get it back, because we have covenant. 1607, Jamestown was it, or Virginia Beach, they stuck a cross in there and declared the land for Jesus. 1620, Plymouth, the Mayflower Compact, a covenant with God about taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. George Washington's inauguration, saying we will be your God, you'll be our God and we'll be your people. And so we have covenant. When the people of Israel cried out and said God, you remember your covenant, he heard them. When they were in Egypt, they finally got to the point of having enough. He heard them, and he moved. So I'm confident this nation is not going away. We just need to not be a bunch of lemmings, and we need to do our part. So, are we okay with that? Do you still love me? Okay. And again, you don't have to take that. That's an opinion, but I got word to back it up. So, then it says in verse Matthew, back to Matthew 24, 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That word endure, it doesn't just mean to survive or make it through. It means to abide, to remain, to continue, to persevere, to stay in a given place. Now, if we're where God told us to be, in the right church, in the right position, the job, whatever, you're in your place. So some people say, oh, geez, I just don't feel I should do this. I just don't feel this. And they need their feeler checked out. Are you following your feelings or are you following God? So he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. It talks about, that means stability. I think I mentioned that last week in the offering, stability. You're rooted and grounded in the basis of the Word of God, not going off on some fringe thing, off in the ditch on one side and then swing back on the other side. But it talks about relationship, enduring in a connectivity. Like, thankful for you guys, what you did for us in the passing of their sister. Relationship, connected together. We're not lone rangers. We're not out there on our own. You're an easy target when you're on your own. Target for the devil, I mean. And Jesus said, "Will I find faith when I return?" You know, what kind of faith? Enduring faith. And as you notice, these are days when you've got to endure. This is no cakewalk here. This is no, we're not in the first inning. We've gone through some things. Excuse me. So what happens? It says, "He that endures shall be, to the end shall be saved." That's the word sozo. Talking about a people who are, at the end of the age, they're going to walk in their covenant. They're going to walk in the power of God for healing. They're going to walk in the power of God to not get offended and keep the anointing. They're going to walk in the power of God for prosperity, because how shall they preach if they cannot be sent? You know, I'm one that I can do more with money than you can do without it. I'm all for prosperity because I want to get this gospel out. Those that endure. So we're privileged to be at the close of the age. When he said this, these guys, they fulfilled their timing, but this wasn't the end of the age. But I really believe we're at the end of the age. These things are getting so intensified, coming so fast and furious, that it's a good indication that we are there. You know, if we go by the way of the grave and it stays another 500,000 years, you can just check me out in heaven and rebuke me or something. I don't know. But and there's also, I think Mel Piper said about, this is talking to the Jews there then, but, and I tried to articulate this before, and I want to try and get this out. So even if he's just talking to the Jews, the end of the age, to me it's the church age. So we're involved with this. And a lot of these things are going to be all, of course, in the tribulation. So even if he's talking just to them, and at the end of that time, at the end of 7 years, these things are happening, we're just going to get out earlier. So it's pertaining to us, obviously. And you know, we're bumping up against the tribulation period. So that all these, like I said, the systems are in place, the pressure is greater and greater. So we've got to operate in faith. We're well able to do this. We don't have to think, oh, woe is me. You see so many victimhood, or victim-type people, excuse me, that they need to strap up on this. So we're privileged to be here. And you know, it says not to forsake the assembly yourselves together, Hebrews 10:25, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So do we see the day approaching? So you guys are here. You're taking this thing seriously. So enduring to the end. We're not going to be deceived. We're going to stay in it. We're going to stay in the Word. We're going to look at things and judge them by the Word. Is this revival or is this flakism? I mean, but when you see people being delivered, when you see people that were drug addicts one day delivered the next day, it doesn't always happen that way, but that's available. It has to be preached. So you can judge things by this, and the end of the age, you can judge by these litany of things Jesus is giving us. By the way, I want to interject this. Psalm 91:3 says, "Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from a noisome pestilence." He's delivered us from the noisome pestilence. They're talking about, I guess, COVID. I haven't been able to see much news, but I guess they're talking about more COVID coming. The one lady Friday was setting up, she said, "You have people coming from York, was it?" And I hear it's big down there. Is it? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I told you this even before COVID hit. And I love this scripture. I learned it from Gloria Copeland. Luke 21:11 in the Amplified. So we're delivered from a noisome pestilence. And this Luke 21 is a similar passage to what we got in Matthew 24 we're reading about these times. It says there would be mighty and violent earthquakes in various places, famines, and pestilences. Now we redeem from these, or he's delivered us from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. Amplifies it saying plagues, malignant, contagious, infectious, epidemic diseases, deadly and devastating. You know, we have something to stand on here. We don't have to say, "Oh, go, give me another shot, give me this." And you take the vaccine, it's your business. And thank God for the medical people we have. And there's a lot out there that know the truth and are telling the truth, and they're trying to be silenced. When the government can take away hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, things proven to work, then you know they're lying to you. And, you know, that's where I'm not talking about being, again, taking up arms. I'm talking about, when I got some symptoms, tested positive, although the doctor told me, when we changed doctors, and he said, I got hydrochloroquine, the same thing President Trump took. And they said, I can't get the ivermectin anymore. They took it from us. But he said, I had a family just in here. We tested them. Family, same living unit. Half positive, half negative. So he said, these tests are just, you know. And I'm not denying, I had COVID early on, and I felt probably worse than I ever did, but didn't die. Because we're redeemed from, you know, we've been delivered from these infectious diseases. You got to stay on this. You got to feed on this. I love what Pastor said earlier in the year about daily word. He talked about Dodi Osteen. He talked about Brother Hagin taking the word on healing daily. And I can't say I've done that daily, but I've done it a lot. And man, it feeds you. You know this. It feeds you, and we have to have this. And for our calling, I feed on prosperity scriptures too, because we're calling that in that realm. So I love this next verse, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. I think Mel Piper referred to that, that end may be at the end of the tribulation. So be it, but we're going fast on this thing, preaching the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom is the whole answer. You know, you talk about people that when you're an example to them, they're going to turn to you. They may criticize you. They may call you not a fruitcake. I need a wider podium here. But they're the ones that you're going to come. They're going to come to you. So you've endured. It's talked about those who endured to the end. You've endured in this end of the age. The foundation of the great awakening, the foundation of the revival, the foundation of deliverances and healings and all these things we're looking for is the preaching of the gospel. You know, signs and wonders are great, and they are great, but that. The preaching of the gospel is what produces that. Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. So, and look at the multitudes and out places. There are multitudes following. They think, I don't know, 20, 30,000 people. He fed them supernaturally. He said, was it to Philip? He said, where can we buy things to feed him? And knowing what Philip would say, he tested him in that. But Jesus supernaturally took the loaves and the fishes, multiplied it in the disciples' hands. He's going to multiply things in our hands to feed the nation, to feed the people. So, but the underpinning of all this, the foundation is the preaching of the gospel. So we can never let that go. All these ands, then, but and the preaching of the gospel. That's not sometime down the road. We got to really focus on that. That's now. And I I've been anointed as a teacher for some time, but the more and more the evangelistic anointing. Especially when we get an opportunity at our business, when it's amazing, you're so busy, it's like you can't hardly even, you see somebody and you don't even, oh yeah, I saw them, but then God will carve out a few minutes to talk to this one guy that really needs it. And so the evangelistic anointing tends to come. I think maybe it's a pull on all of us right now. God's heart is to get the harvest in. Say again.
He said, go ye.
Yeah, go ye, yeah. I noticed yesterday, you know, I preached a message about, mentioned about the false gospel and what it takes to be born again, and mentioned that Brenda was born again, so I wouldn't be able to do this funeral or a memorial service with the hope of the resurrection. I wouldn't do it for somebody I didn't know was saved, you know. But, and the people really responded. Some people I wouldn't have thought, they maybe in more traditional churches, but they know what you're talking about. There is a morality of people of certain ages that they've heard things. And I was in a brethren church, and I'm not blaming them, but I knew nothing. I was so ignorant. I mean, I had no idea the cross, and that's why I thank God for the move of Jesus got me in. But there is a generation now that has absolutely no clue about and doesn't care about these things. So this is where, when they hit the wall, we got to be there for them. And so the preaching of the gospel is the foundation of all these things. And you know, we look at the first coming of the Lord, and understand the pattern. Like I said, Jesus was coming since the Garden of Eden, since all down through there. The timing of God, just to get it, all these things that had to happen perfectly in timing. But when he was born, the end of the age, which I believe now we can look at the pattern, we're in that end of the age, church age. That started the end of the age. When he died, then that age closed, and we got into this age. Jimmy Wilkerson, a prophet, has said, all history hangs upon the two golden hooks, the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. All else pales in comparison. So these two things have been playing off each other. And so all these litany of tests that Jesus is saying, I mean, you can decide for yourself. You can. Some people you talk to, I told this one guy, I said, man, we're right here. Things are happening. And he says, they've been saying that. And I thought, you are so scriptural. You're a scoffer out of Peter, I think it is. I mean, the guy's a know-it-all. I mean, you could say something about, well, what about this? And or I could say something that's happened to us, and he'll go off on some tangent. It's like all talk, no listen, you know. But there are those that just think we're not even there. Don't see it at all. So he gave this litany of things, and again, these are pressure things. And if you see it intensifying, know that you're well able to handle this. It just keeps intensifying, and at some point though, there is a time we're going to hear the trumpet. We're going to be out of here, but we've got to get the harvest in for our Father God, the husbandman. So Jesus' first coming ended the age. He closed out that age, ushered in the new age. But so, what happened when Jesus was born? I think this is an interesting parallel. The devil was stirred up, and he started a genocide of children. You know, when Jesus was born, Herod started killing the kids because the devil, you know, used that power-hungry stuff and all that. You know, we've had a killing of kids for a long time. Now, thank God for the Supreme Court's action here, but you can look at... It's still being pushed. They're not letting up on anything. The devil is the same devil. He doesn't have any new tricks. So you can look at the patterns. So that's just another thing to me, looking at what happened right at the end of the age there when Jesus was born, prior to him fulfilling his call. So I just want to end up here a little bit in 2 Timothy, if we could. If we could. I guess we can, because I'm in charge here. Don't walk out. Oh, man. I do thank God for this privilege of ministering yesterday, today, and so think about what we're reading here as what we've been talking about, one on top of the other. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, the last days we defined as Pentecost on, so, you know, but they're intensifying. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I think the Amplified I wrote down here somewhere. Lovers of amusement. You know, people are just got to occupy their brains because I think, frankly, if they thought about it, they'd be in such fear. They got to keep their mind on amusements, on what have you, to occupy their brains so they don't go nuts. One of the amplified things in verse 3, it says, haters of good. You know, believe me, people, they'd kill some of us if they could. If they could do it legally, they'd get you. I mean, they talked about the Clintons, and I don't know all that, but, you know, a lot goes on that you'd think, you would have thought never would happen. People disappear, and, you know. Here's the Amplified. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more and rather than lovers of God. That's what I said about the martini bars. And God bless these people. I hope they're saved. But they're telling us about, oh, this cruise we're going on. They had this martini bars, ice. And we went there, and this is them speaking. We went there, And we didn't know it was Tuesday night. It was LGBT night, right? That's like, so she says, the wife says, well, yeah, the guys were hitting on my husband. So she's going like this. So and then he says, well, that's in other words, that's their truth. And don't bother me. I won't bother you. That's fine. And I don't tell somebody you're a dirty, rotten heathen going to hell. I don't do that. But I don't just I don't just embrace it. We have clients that are gay, and you try and look for the, you listen to the Holy Ghost. What do you say anything? So far, I've not been led to say anything. At some point.
But we don't acknowledge. Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
Right. I think they know where we stand. So, so total gratifying the flesh. We're going on this next boat, this next cruise line. It's a big one, and you swim up to the martini bar or something. You know, it's like, okay. Do you even realize you're on a cruise after a while? I don't know. And, you know, haters are good. And if you're a Democrat, God bless you. But the Democrat Party has eliminated God from their platform. Now, I know that there's bad Republicans in that deep state. There's Democrats. But in this administration, happens to be a Democrat administration. You know, they are trying to make laws. They think maybe by making these laws, it can eliminate their feelings of doing something wrong, but it can't. Social consciousness, maybe they have no more conscience. Maybe they're just so seared and it's just gone. And that's why we pray for the president and these people. And what I'm saying, I don't hate them at all, but, you know, I am for keeping churches open, put it that way. And I am. But what do you do? You got to fly somewhere. You got to fly home. Okay, you got to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. So I guess I'll stand my ground at a church. But if you got to fly, I'm just thinking about this. What do you do? You got to. I don't know. And with our right, yeah, true. But it also can harm you, in my opinion. So when we get in the car and drive to Hawaii. So. When this happened at the market in March of 2020, we were required to put our tables up. Nobody could sit there. They could come in, buy and leave, but we had to have a mask on or they would shut the whole market down. So by ourselves, by yourself, maybe you cannot change an airline. You cannot change a farmer's market. So in that case, maybe on the job. So I'm not saying be an idiot and lose your job, use your whole income based on that. But, you know, and I don't plan to go to jail over the churches, but do you think, we're not that big of a number, but do you think the government, the police are going to, and actually the police came into the market checking on us, not just us, the whole place. Do you think the police would, and I'm throwing out questions, do you think the police would come here if we assembled, parked out here and came in, we got a key, we're meeting, maybe let them throw us out. That's at least, you know. Yeah, and also bigger churches, they're not going to be able to do it. So that's all I'm saying. Yeah. So having a form of godliness but not denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And all this abortion, sex trafficking, and all these things are just signs of these times, signs of the things Jesus was talking about. Population control, genocide of children, and transgenderism. This is to stop reproduction. The devil is, for some reason, out to stop reproduction. You know, his pattern is the same throughout the ages, so we shouldn't be surprised. But Jesus said, occupy till I come. So, you know, occupy. I have some stuff my dad brought home from, it says, made in occupied Japan. And, you know, at that, when they were, and my dad wasn't part of the martial thing, but martial law, but you know, they took and they first of all disarmed the Japanese people, and then got them into a different rule of law, so to speak. So, you know, the devil's been disarmed if we just take our authority. We occupy till he comes. By the way, my dad was there, stationed there in the Korean War. He said the Japanese people were the nicest people you could ever meet. They were humbled. It was just the leadership, like in our country. We've got these leaders that think, well, they're going towards one world government. Klaus Schwab people, I don't know if you ever heard of that name, but they mock Jesus. They say, you know, we're creating things that we can live forever by science. Jesus is just nothing. So they have plans for you and I, but we got an escape hatch. You know, the rapture is coming, and Brother Hagin said before the worst, you know, we'll be out of here. Like Pastor said, he and I talk about this. We never thought that we'd be here with this kind of situation. But here we are. So occupy till he comes. James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. We mentioned this earlier, 2 Thessalonians 2:7 discusses that the lawless one will not come as long as he who restrains is still in the way. So I'm in the way. Are you in the way? We're not giving the devil an inch. So, I mean, at the very least, if you say, okay, close my church, I'll wear a mask, I'll do this, I'll do that, at the very least, pray and occupy and take authority over the devil if you can't do anything else. If you're backing off from your civic duties, I say. So we see all these things here. We see what Jesus said, the signs of the time, of the end of the age. We see Timothy, all these things, and we see them in our face. You know, you'd have to be blind not to see this. So, what does the Lord say about this? Well, let's go back to Acts as we close, in Acts chapter 2. What does the Lord say we should do? Oh, woe is me, I'm a victim, I got Jesus, come quickly, oh man. No, let's get our job done, let's bring in the harvest, let's do what we're anointed to do. Praise God, and what we are to do, and what God's answer to this is, the Holy Ghost and the presence of God. Verse 16 again. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It should come to pass in the last days. We're in them. This is God's answer to all this garbage that's going on. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. There's things going to be coming on people on their flesh. They're going to do things they never dreamed. They're cursing God today and tomorrow. I did that. I made fun of God. And then one day I got born again. I realized how stupid I was. Interjecting here, I told you about these guys that are so frivolous with their eternity. One guy said, see you next week. He said, well, yeah, so I'm getting older. I said, just keep going. You got to know where you're going, though, I said. And he walks away and he says, I know where I'm going. And I thought, oh, good. And he turns around and goes like this. Another guy, same thing. It's like, that hit me so in the... So grievous, but we've been praying, so then we're seeing some things changing there. So frivolous things, and that the anointing has to destroy that yoke of bondage. That's all it is. So anyway, pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is God's answer. Young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned in the darkness, the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. So God's got an answer. It's the pouring out of the Spirit of God on people. He says in verse 28, I didn't read down there, but you have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with thy countenance. That's what he says about it. So we need to stay over in the joy of the Lord. You know, tomorrow's Monday. Monday's coming. You got to go to work. I got to do some things too. But you know, we need to stay in faith. With the current policies of this administration, you know, I don't know if it's affected your economy. We got to stay in the Word. My business is 75% down year over year from last year. 25% of what it was last year. But I'm not complaining because we got money flowing in. So, you know, and these policies, you can't change the fact that elections matter, even though, in my opinion, it was proof that it's a stolen election, but that's neither here nor there. Elections matter. So you've got to deal with what you've given, the hand you've given. So, yeah, the economy. I worked in the government under Jimmy Carter. So I know what I'm talking about. At that point, I was making loans on farms and building and houses and that. At that time, 1978 or so, 79, on my signature, I could loan $375,000. Back then, that was a lot of money. And we were under that admitted type of tax and spend policy, same as now, even worse now. And I love Jimmy Carter, a born-again guy. He's still living, isn't he? He's close. I think he's on hospice. But he's probably so joyful, they say, because he's no longer looked at as the worst president in the world. And if you're a Joe Biden fan, I'll tell it to you later. But anyway, I can testify of what happened back then. Such a mess. We made loans to people if they could so-called breathe. I mean, they call it economic emergency loans. And when Reagan came in, different policy economically, we were told, I don't care if you never make it a loan, clean up the mess. So then fortunately, God got me into another realm, the appraisal division. So I got out of that because I didn't really believe in what I was doing there. But so my point is, in these days, you've got to function. And that goes back to what I said about distributing. You're not going to change those things we read about Matthew 24. But you've got to be able to function in them. And we've got to rise up in the Word, into our covenant of healing, our covenant of prosperity. We've got to do it. You know, we don't want to go under. I mean, we don't want to just fail, you know. And Christians can fail if they're not standing on the Word of God, if they're not grounded in the Word. So, you know, the policies, yeah, they're there. And should they stay in there another 4 years, next election, so be it. But I certainly hope not. But the point is, me being down to 25% of last year on business income does not affect my woe. That's not woe is me. It's like, let's go, devil. I'm going to read you the riot act, you know, and I'm going to praise Jesus. And I'll tell you what, He is faithful. Amen. We have seen the faithfulness of God in this thing with Darlene and Marlene's sister, my sister-in-law, supernatural things. Oh, but I wanted to mention this. I know I'm going a little bit longer here, but the piling on technique of the devil with these and this and that and this. Brenda fell. We picked up Marlene at the airport and she was with us, I don't know, almost 2 weeks. And they're going day and night setting up programs, working with their executrixes, I guess. And one thing after the other would come up. We got to deal with this, to pray. God answers. Am I telling the truth? Time after time. The goodness of God. But then Tuesday, a week ago, I told you about the Yellow Jacket incident. Did I tell the details of that? So talk about the pile-on thing. And I was the breakfast maker these days. Man, they were eating good. Can I get a witness? But anyway, no. But so one of you guys says, "Oh, there's a Yellow Jacket." So we swat it. There's another one, swat it. And after a while, Marlene's saying, "They're up there. We have big circle glass windows up high." And I got the extension mop thing, and I'm up there, and then I get on the ladder, and Darlene has to go to tax hours, office hours. I'm on this ladder, Marlene's trying to hold me so I don't, my back. And after a while, that was before though. Yeah. Anyway, the long story short, I got ganged up on. I knew where the nest was, and I would say, I'm gonna get this tonight. It'll take care of it. As there's 40 things flying around. And then they said to me, you said, you're calling.
Well, I reached down and I got stung.
Yeah.
Okay. And I dealt with it, that I said, you get on the phone and you call somebody. And Marlene had already looked up people.
Yeah, so I called these people and they said, this is Tuesday. And they say, yeah, we get out there next Tuesday, a week. So you found another one. We found another one and called them and they said emergency service 375. I was thinking they're going to be thousands, but so I said, "Yeah, get out here." They're out here within an hour, in 2 hours.
Well, I left.
Yeah, that's right. That's when you left.
And honestly, I'm driving down there and I'm speaking to my hand because it was fiery red. Okay, now I got to go and
deal with people.
Within half an hour, my hand completely went down. I just had a little bubble. Honestly, it was gone. It was gone.
So I'm using this. I go to scripture on most everything, and then I'm going to let you go in a minute. But this guy comes, and he's 360 pounds. Nicest guy I know.
He was weighted for 375.
Yeah. Yeah, he says my ladder's over. Yeah. So he's up there. I'm thinking, we have a metal roof here before they get a lot of peaks. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. So meanwhile, I'm going, what's that?
I didn't cite the fact that you're looking at it.
What's that?
God always says, God doesn't say things in a pack.
Yeah. Well, this was a devil, I'll tell you that. But it was a test of how God was showing us how to deal with it. I went to the scripture in Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. We want to find, the guy says, usually you see a line of flying into an area, their nest. He said, this is really different. They're flying outside and he's spraying all the area. And I said, there's a nest down there. He said, we'll get that later. So he does that then outside, and see, I was going to do that nest earlier, but someone wouldn't let me. Anyway, so he comes in and we'd have had the same problem. He comes in to do a final sweep of the house, and all of a sudden he's going out the front door. He looks up here, and we have very high ceilings. He says, "There they are." He saw they came through the drywall maybe half an inch. He saw it, went outside, checked where they're coming in. We got a lot of the angles on our roof. And that's when he put the ladder up there, and we had to hold the thing. But inside, he's got to get this ladder up. Oh, it's 20 feet at least. And he says, I'm going to stick this dust in here and get him. And then I see him putting tape on each side. He said, this is the trick, pulling this out and not having to come out and get you. So he did it. But just at the very end, before he's leaving, and he's not satisfied, I could tell, God act on this scripture, and I'm not bragging about me, it just came to me. It was manifest in the guy's sight. He saw where it was, and in the 2-hour period is gone. So, testifying of the goodness of God. And while we're here, does anybody have a testimony? Anyway, I'm not going to hold you up, but if anybody does.
I just wanted to say you did a wonderful service yesterday. I came home in my life and say that the verse to read, if people didn't get touched by that, then they don't believe, because you just hit all the verses perfect and delivered it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I did have one. I think it was 2 weeks ago now, though. When I came up front and everybody prayed for me, I was having an issue.
Two or three,
with my daughter,
yeah.
But Ava, it was really bad. Like, the devil was really wreaking havoc for a while. But praise God. Like, it was that Sunday. I think it was the following Friday. Out of the blue, my daughter just called me and asked to have a conversation. Now, the devil was still trying to get in there, because we agreed that it was going to be a me, her, Sherry, and her conversation. And my daughter said, yeah. Well, here, we went and met her, like a little bit down from her house, because we didn't want to take her far from her house. And she recorded us. Her phone. She's sitting there. My wife goes, what do you keep pressing a button for? She's like, you're recording us, ain't you? And Abe was like, yeah, my mom wants to know what's going on. I said, this is a 3-person conversation. I was like, and Sherry got mad and stormed off. And I told Ava, I said, you're going to delete that right now. And you're not recording us anymore. Sherry wasn't having it. She's like, I'm out of here. We're leaving. So anyways, my daughter flipped out. She started calling us all kind of names, saying I never wanted to speak to you in the first place. Like, the devil was really going off. And I'm up to here, as you see. I'm like, I'm not with my daughter, but it's God over everything. And you're not accepting that? That's just where we stand, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we start driving home, and out of the blue, she calls me. And we're headed back towards Pine Grove. We were only out in Wyomissing. We weren't all the way back. But anyways, we were driving, and she called, and I'm like, I ain't answering the phone, because I was mad. I couldn't believe she did that. Sherry's like, just answer the phone. You never know. Maybe she's trying to
listen to the women, I'm telling you.
Yeah, oh, I always do. Yeah, you learn. But anyways, we were driving, and I answered the phone, and I was mad right away. I'm like, what? And she's like, why'd you just leave? To mean, why would just leave? You're recording us, and we told you it was a 3-person conversation. That's why we left. Well, anyways, She said, well, come back. We want to talk. I said, this conversation is getting fixed tonight or not at all. And we drove an hour. So either you make up your mind, this is this last time we're coming back. We're not coming back again. So I said, it's dark now. I said, we're going to meet at the same place, but not where we met you at a different area. And we'll stop and pick you up. No, 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 I'll walk down. It's only a few blocks. I'll meet you on the other side of the field. So me and my wife are like, all right, whatever. So we go down there, and here, I'm smart. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'm not stupid. I got jumped in the past from one of her mom's ex-boyfriends. So I was like, I told my wife, I said, we're going to drive by the house. I got a feeling the car's not there. So somebody took her over there. It's dark. They're not going to let her walk. So anyways, long story short, I drive by the house and her mom's boyfriend's car is missing. Okay. Ava told us she went over on her own. So I pull up, and I lived over there. I used to live right around the corner from them, so it's a huge field. And it's an elevation and a lower part. And no one parks on this elevation. That's where Ava's at. And I see a black Honda sitting there. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's her mom's boyfriend's car. I said to Ava, I had her on speaker, I said, are you here by yourself? Yeah, Dad, it's only me. Come on, we're going to talk. I looked around and said, you don't see this black Honda sitting right here? And she's like, no. No. It's literally Ava's right where Darlene is, and the Honda's right here across from me. And I pulled down farther. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to pull right up to the car. But then I got out the car, and I went right up to the car. Because Sherry's like, don't go to the car. Don't go to the car. You don't know me. You're here for whatever reason. I want to know why. Well, anyway, long story short, I went up to the car. Here the guy is laid back, the driver's seat all the way back, and all his windows are blacked out. And he has his phone on his chest like this. So I walked up and I went around to the passenger side of the car and I said, yo, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm here to make sure Ava's safe. I said, safe? He goes, yeah, I heard about you. I heard your conversations and all this God stuff you preach and you talk about all this. I said, listen, I'm not getting into nothing with you. I'm here to talk to my kid. I said, he goes, you ain't making me leave. I said, nope, but my daughter will. I was like, hallelujah, I came here to talk to my daughter, and that's what I came to do. And I said, Ava, you got a choice to make. You said this is just us, we're talking or we're not talking. She walked over there and told him he had to leave. We sat down, we had a normal conversation. The devil was completely out of the situation. Hallelujah. And we came to a resolution, so now we're just waiting on it. A meeting to get the apology done that Ava owes us and move forward from there. But it was ugly, I'm telling you, before that. Until I came up here that day.
Yeah, well, be encouraged. We went through a thing with our daughter over a period of time that I thought was rough. But now she is, she's one of our biggest.
Yeah, she's been with me too. Absolutely. I just stick to my guns. Huh?
Absolutely. God's always working in a plan. Yeah. Even though you can't see the end from the beginning, it's the faith that gets us there. But He's always working. It's amazing when you look back and you say, oh my goodness, like God was working this thing all this time. And I just need to, you don't have to see it. You have to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, our daughter now, it's like they're always on the phone. It's like it's family the way it should be.
That's the way it's
been. And with me, too.
Ever since we had that meeting, Sherry's like, well, let's see how she talks to you on the phone. Every time. Nothing but understand. And the funny thing about it, and this is why I'm sharing it, sorry to take longer, but you know it's God when you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it upsets me a little bit. But.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah,
that's what makes me feel so good about it, because it's hard when your kid, she's young, you know what the devil's doing, you have everybody against you. It's like me and Sherry against the world. She's the only one with me. Well, besides family. I'm pretty sure they're all with me. They've never came against, and you guys, I'm not saying that, but in general... Like, if you heard our conversations, like Sherry could tell you, Like, it was strictly evil, like everything. Ava, I'm not doing this. I'm not accepting your wife. I'm not talking to your wife. I'm not meeting with the family. Ugly, ugly, ugly. Until I had the nerve to come up here and get prayed over, because I did everything I could. I said, Lord, I'm doing all this on my own. Maybe the corporate anointing is what I need. Maybe you have the church behind me. And bam. Mm. Literally, yeah. Like, and she
and
just switched.
Was,
like
a, was that day.
Was it that day?
Look at,
yes,
yeah,
it was. Yes, matter of fact, it was that Sunday night.
God's timing is never.
Yeah, it's such
amazing.
It was
amazing. Just a switch that quick. Like, it was so amazing, you know it's God.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel so good for serving the God that I serve.
Yeah. I mean, it's like us playing the flat on instruments. Sometimes you don't feel like there's much going on. And, but,
like Jesus said.
Yeah. Anybody
he
else?
He kept telling me. He goes, you said that it's done. When you told me, you said, Lord, you speak to her. Because he's the changer. We're not. I can't make her do what I wanted her to do, but he did.
Yeah.
He worked it out. And he kept telling me, do not grow weary in your well-doing. When she calls you, just talk to her normal. And when we had that conversation, Sherry said, what do you have against us? What do we have against you? What did we do to you? She named one thing. And then she named stuff I did years ago. And I said, no, what have we done since me and Sherry been together? What have I done? Have I said this to you? Have I been loving to you? Have I been respectful? She just sat there and said, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
After all this time, this has been going on 2 years now. As you saw the last time that she was here.
Yes.
And she did. The devil just kept nagging and nagging and nagging, but I kept pursuing. I stayed firm. Stayed praising the Lord, you know, keeping God focused. And
he doesn't want her here.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
He's mad that he should.
Yeah. Destroys the yoke.
Yes, for sure.
And you came up there and with Ed, with the anointing there.
Mm-hmm. That was it. It changed, like she just said. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, it was that night, Sunday night.
Yeah.
And that day, this just came up to me again. That day I had this scripture. He asked me if I had anything afterwards. It has to do with ministers to me about the he lays in Zion a foundation, you know, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. And he says, Jesus said later on, this is the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. When you got the cornerstone of the gospel in you and the faith in you, you got that sure foundation. Just and you know the devil's tactics. Just don't let him operate. So, and he that believeth shall not make haste. So, I found this even these past 2 weeks when I get like jittery or to going too fast for conditions. That's when you make the mistakes. And we all know better. We know it. But so praise God, He's faithful. So,
amen.
Anybody else have anything they would like to add or any? Praise God. Well, I appreciate. I mean, I may have been rambling a bit today, but. I hope you got the points that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Because I think God wants us to realize the end of the age is here. And there is an illumination. That prophetic utterance said the manifestation of His power. You know, I think sometimes we get so used to, oh, well, this is the way it is. We've got to hold on to the end. It says endure to the end, but, you know, just having done all the stand. Yeah, but there is a time coming when you see the light and the manifestation of the power. I mean, we're running into that, so praise God. Father, we thank You for this word today. We thank You for Your goodness, the anointing, and we seal this word with the power of the Holy Ghost. Satan, You're not going to bring affliction, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, or lust of other things entering in to choke the word. We refuse that. We go forth in faith this week now in Jesus' name. Amen.